Hey, I'm John, and this is your open source news Elements, sponsored by Element.fm. Get unlimited podcast hosting for just $5 at Element.fm. Now to the news. One of the most significant announcements to come out of Google I.O. this week is Google appointing Canonical as the lead maintainer for Flutter Desktop. Canonical, the company famous for Ubuntu, is set to take a strategic stewardship role over Flutter Desktop on Windows, macOS, and Linux. This move marks a milestone for both Flutter and Canonical, with collaboration at its very core. Since 2021, Canonical has been all in with Flutter, making it the primary framework for new applications on Ubuntu. This deeper partnership has resulted in a more mature desktop experience for developers, which was front and center during this year's event. Together, they've introduced meaningful improvements: native support for tooltips, content-sized views, and multi-window applications, all cross-platform. Plus, there's a big push for mobile enhancements and smarter AI-powered interactions in Flutter. The modularization of core Flutter components, which are no longer directly tied to Google's own design languages, is helping the framework evolve for a bigger, global community. What's really striking is the move towards a collaborative governance model for Flutter's ecosystem. Canonical will lead desktop, but everyone from indie devs to big enterprises can weigh in on the project's direction. This could signal an era in open source, where ownership is more decentralized, ecosystems are more robust, and innovation comes from all sides, rather than just a single vendor. It's a genuine step forward in shaping tools by and for the community. Speaking of community and open source, the issue of supply chain vulnerabilities is continuing to flare up. Just last week, Andrew Nesbitt shone a spotlight on a new kind of protestware incident in the Java ecosystem. The JQuick testing library pushed a controversial release that specifically instructed AI agents to erase any JQuick-related code. The intention behind this so-called protestware was to make a point, but it ended up exposing developers to real risk, as automated tools could blindly follow those instructions. After major backlash, a new version was posted to steer AI agents away from the project, but the damage to trust underscores how fragile the software supply chain can be. Malicious or political changes in widely used libraries are now a looming risk, not just an oddity, and detecting these changes is a growing challenge. The community is already talking about new tools and better vetting practices to check for these sorts of issues early. As dependencies multiply, having automated or community-driven oversight will be essential for open source health and reliability. If you work in open source, it's a reminder to vet every dependency and keep the whole community's well-being in mind. Switching gears to hardware, there's been enormous growth in Chromebooks, especially in education. The numbers are impressive. In 2026 alone, the global Chromebook market hit a massive $14.7 billion, buoyed by over 22 million units shipped worldwide. Chrome OS is now sitting at nearly 2% of the global desktop market share. In schools, Chromebooks are dominant, accounting for a huge 60% of devices bought and used for student learning. In the US, a staggering 93% of school districts are investing in the platform. The market forecast is for double-digit growth in coming years, with the total Chromebook market potentially reaching over $42 billion by 2034 if current adoption rates continue. Lenovo remains the market leader, with Asus catching up quickly thanks to a 43% jump in growth year over year. As for why Chromebooks are so successful in schools, affordability is key, with retail prices usually between $200 and $400. But Google has also invested heavily in management tools to make large-scale deployment much more manageable for IT staff. Simple deployment and ongoing support are why so many schools are betting their digital future on Chrome OS. All signs point to steady growth, so if you're interested in ED tech or device management, this is a space to watch very closely in the next decade. Now, AI is rapidly becoming a force multiplier in Linux kernel development as well. In the upcoming Linux 7.1 release, especially in the networking stack, there's been a noticeable uptick in pull requests and ambitious new submissions from contributors. Linus Torvalds has cautioned about patch churn and the risks of over-automating, but many developers see a real productivity boost. AI-powered code completion and review tools are now practically standard toolkit for kernel contributors, not just early adopters. Of course, questions about maintainability and technical debt are still hot topics, and project leads are focusing on keeping quality high as code volumes increase. As we wait for Linux 7.1-RC6, there's little doubt AI will keep reshaping workflows and expectations in open source. If you're contributing to open source or considering it, learning how to incorporate AI tools in a sustainable way could well be your competitive edge in the years ahead. And if you're exploring alternative operating systems, the Genode OS framework has just rolled out a significant update in May. The changes draw inspiration from the SculptOS user experience and unlock more robust support for Wi-Fi, ACPI, and graphics drivers. This is a game changer for anyone hoping to use Genode on tablets or with advanced graphics setups. There's also increased support for Linux-style user space networking, closing the gap with more mainstream OS frameworks. Overall, the release is all about making Genode more comfortable and reliable for regular users, not just developers and hobbyists. It's a reminder that usability is quickly becoming a first-class citizen even in alternative OS ecosystems. Plus, when you look at next-gen OS design, things like modularity, efficient drivers, and low-latency networking are now essential. Long-standing players aren't standing still either. NVIDIA has just retired its classic control panel after over two decades. Users will have to transition to a new application that merges legacy control panel functions with updated management tools for Windows. The new app's launch has stirred the pot, as some users have voiced concern about advertisements and aspects of the updated interface experience. Still, this shift shows the push to modernize legacy utilities, balancing backward compatibility with evolving expectations for software delivery. On the security front, this week has seen crucial patches land across popular Linux distributions. Several vulnerabilities were found in core packages, with urgent updates now available to patch these holes. If you haven't updated lately, now's a good time. Just run your usual system update commands to patch and secure your machine. Alongside security, there are substantive improvements incoming to system performance, especially around the BTRF's file system. The upcoming Linux 7.2 kernel will introduce optimizations to direct I/O performance, which promises a real boost for high-speed workflows. Absolutely keep an eye on these system enhancements. They may have a direct impact on your day-to-day computing. On the hardware front, AI and health technology are making waves with the introduction of the Lunar Band. This wearable puts voice-first interaction at the forefront, allowing users to track health metrics in real time, hands-free, and seamlessly integrated into daily life. It's another example of AI not just boosting productivity and development, but also changing how we interface with technology personally. Devices like Lunar Band reflect a broader trend where health data, productivity, and AI-powered insights are converging. Expect the line between personal health, daily tech use, and advanced computing to blur even further over the next few years, possibly changing the shape of consumer technology itself. Finally, let's switch to the stars. NASA has formalized plans for the next phase of lunar exploration. They've outlined a three-stage roadmap for setting up a semi-permanent base at the moon's south pole, with the first phase covering 2026 to 2029. This initial stage will focus on robotic explorers, landers, rovers, and the trialing of advanced new technology crucial for later missions. Once technical milestones are met, NASA aims to lay down the early infrastructure needed for human visitors and then a sustained human presence on the lunar surface from 2029 onwards. This is all about creating a foundation for deep space exploration and science, as well as a possible stepping stone on the path to Mars and beyond. The idea of an international base on the lunar South Pole looked like science fiction just a decade ago, but now it's on the official timeline. All of these developments, Canonical's leadership of Flutter Desktop, AI's transformation of open source, and exciting new explorations in health and space, show just how rapidly the technology sector is shifting. What's become clear is that collaboration, decentralization, and a willingness to embrace the new are at the heart of the most innovative projects right now. As software and hardware mature, and as the boundaries between disciplines vanish, we're entering a period of extraordinary possibility. The next few years may bring new security challenges, deeper AI integration, foundational OS changes, and astonishing advances in areas like health and education. If you're passionate about open source or just curious about where tech is headed next, it's a fantastic time to get involved, contribute, and help steer the direction. With so many stakeholders gaining a seat at the table, the coming decade should be a golden age for collaboration, experimentation, and meaningful progress. That's all for this week's Open Source News Elements. Thanks for listening.